and go to Jonah chapter 2. So, tonight our subject is the feelings of a sinner under conviction. Now, salvation is a traumatic experience. Now, you better put that down. And I've had a lot of preachers, you know, they get upset when I say that. They shouldn't. But it's so. Salvation is a traumatic experience. It only takes place once in your life. It never happens again. And when you are traveling on the road to grace, you are traveling a road you have never traveled before. You'll never travel again. There's nothing like it. Every individual that travels that road has a personal relationship with the Lord God of heaven at the end of that road. And when they get saved, I'm going to tell you this. It's the revelation of Christ to that heart. Nobody can lead you to Christ. And I don't care how unpopular this statement is, I'll stake my entire eternity on it because I know I'm right. No man can confess that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, not by man. Now, you and I may take our Bibles and I may sit down and talk with you, but I can't bring you to Christ. God's done it. And you'll learn this on the road to Him. Now, some of you, you're still going to have to learn it. Even after these many years that I've been preaching, because some of you have been here now for quite a while, you still haven't learned it. You're going to learn it, or you'll never get saved. And sooner or later, one of two things will happen. You'll either get saved, or you'll up and leave. Now, that always happens. People have often wondered, well, how many people have left this church since you've been pastor? Over 100. And the only reason they ever left is because of the way that I preached to them. It's pointed. It's personal. It's powerful. You know why? God indicts it. Now, I can't do it myself. And tonight, I want to show you very clearly from the Word of God the feelings you have under conviction. Now, the danger that we face is this. The Lord has given me the ability to make this thing so clear that as I lay it out in steps, some of you wicked sinners have learned this, and you'll say, well, now, I've reached step one, and I've got to go to step two. And when you get to step two, you say, well, now I've got to go to step three. I want you to forget all about those steps. All you have to remember is this. You've got to know Christ. Now, when you get saved, all those steps will fall in place at once. Don't try to put them in place now if you're an awakened sinner. Because when you do, you're trying to work your way into salvation and you can't do it. Now, keep that in mind. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, and a number of you are, and I'm glad of it. This is one church where every service we have, I've got sinners in this church. Not everybody's saved. I can't say that of some of all these other churches, you know. They pride themselves. And like I was in a church here some time ago, and it was a cold winter night. And there weren't too many there. And the preacher looked around, and he said, well, everybody here is saved. How did he know? Now, I'm going to tell you something. The only person that I know is saved in this auditorium is me. I don't know about anybody else. You don't either. The only person you know that's saved is you. You may believe that others are, but you don't know. And I'll tell you why. Because salvation is that person. All right, now let's look at Jonah tonight. Jonah is a very clear example of the feelings of a sinner under conviction. And we're going to show you how God deals with sinners. He deals with sinners as He dealt with Jonah. The first chapter, you probably know it by heart. If you don't, it's not far from it. But we find that, notice what happened in verse 15 of Jonah 1. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now there's where Jonah got straightened out. Salvation is of the Lord. There's a sinner's prayer. Now notice what happened. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now we'll spend a couple of weeks at least in this second chapter. There are at least 3 sermons here that I know of right now. Maybe there'll be 10 more before we get through. But no matter how long it takes, we're going to examine this portion of the Word of God. Now, as we look at Jonah tonight and the feelings of the awakened sinner, we have 4 lessons for us here tonight. Here's what they are. First of all, we're going to look at the revelation of Christ to the heart. Secondly, we're going to see what takes place in the revelation of Christ to the heart. Thirdly, we're going to see how God deals with the sinner in conviction. And fourthly, we're going to see the feeling of the sinner under conviction. Now remember again, and let me drive it home to your heart one more time. Your salvation experience with the Lord God of heaven has got to correspond with that which the Word of God teaches. Now if it doesn't, then your experience is wrong because God's Word is never wrong. It's infallible without any mistake. It's inerrant because it is inspired, and it's indestructible, as well as being irresistible. Now let's look at the revelation of Christ to the human heart. Years ago, this truth was preached all over the world. Today, people don't know what in the world you're talking about. The revelation of Christ to the human heart. Now let's see what it is for just a moment. First of all, it is spoken of by the Lord Jesus himself. You turn to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, and we find in verses 22 and 23, the Lord Jesus himself speaks of the revelation of Christ to the heart. Luke chapter 10. Now notice it, if you will. In Luke chapter 10, verse 22, down through verse 24. Now notice. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Father, who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now notice that. In other words, you're not going to know God as your Father until it is revealed to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep that in mind. And you're not going to know who God the Father is until you know who Christ is. And you'll not know who Christ is until the Holy Spirit reveals him to your soul. Salvation is the revelation of Christ to the human heart. Now notice again, verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And we could say tonight on the authority of God's Word without any compunction whatever, Blessed is Elmont Baptist Church for God having shown us these things. He didn't have to. But our Lord chose to. You are more exalted by knowing Christ by revelation than kings are. And yet we find there are some who dare, seemingly, as it were, to argue and fight against this reality. How silly. All right, now the Lord Jesus spoke of the revelation of himself. Now go back to Matthew chapter 11, and I'll show you again. In Matthew chapter 11, and we find in verse 27, many people know verse 28 very well. But in verse 25 down through verse 29 or 30, we read these words. Look at it. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Ha! You're a baby here tonight, if you're saved. You ought to praise the Lord for it. Now, a baby doesn't know anything. And before God saves us, he brings us to the place where we don't know anything except two things. And you know what it is? Number one, we're lost. And number two, if we ever get saved, God's got to do it. That's all you'll know. And that's all you need to know. And don't sit there and argue and fuss and fidget and try to learn a whole lot of doctrine. All you need to know is this. First of all, face reality. Are you a lost sinner before God? Yes or no? If you are, you come step number one. Then, number two is this. Who is it that can save you besides Christ? Nobody. So your only hope, your only plea, your only cry, your only desire, your only aim, and your only expectation ought to be, Lord, save me. And he will. Now look again. Matthew chapter 11. Notice it. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now you see, twice the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that. All right, now turn to the book of Galatians. We find that the book of Galatians not only speaks of the revelation of Christ to the human heart. But the book of Galatians tells us that Paul experienced this revelation. And he experienced it without human instrumentality. Now let me say this again. Just because you can't lead somebody to Christ doesn't mean you're not to talk to them about the Lord. You're to talk all the more about the Lord to them. This past week, Tom and I went out and visited a man who's dying with cancer, Willie Cooper. And from what I can find out, Willie knows little or nothing about a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked to him for a few moments. Now, if I would have been an old free will Arminian preacher, I would have said, now, Willie, wouldn't you just like right now to accept Jesus in your heart? He doesn't even know what it means to be a sinner. And you see, you have to remember one thing. Before God saves a sinner, he makes that sinner to be lost before him. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the problem in our religious world today is we don't have any lost people there. Well, God has got to make you lost. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does it. Now, Paul experienced the revelation of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 1, and look with me at verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen or nations, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now what did Paul do? Well, I'll tell you, Paul went out into the desert, and 3 years later he came and talked to the apostles. He was saved all that time. But the apostles were afraid of him. And Paul was not saved by flesh and blood. He said so. How was he saved? It pleased God to reveal His Son in me. You can't preach the revelation of Christ if you've never experienced it. You can't preach Holy Spirit conviction if you don't know anything about it. You can't preach repentance if you've never experienced it. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can't tell an individual how they feel when they're lost if you've never been lost yourself before God. Now let's notice something else about Paul. Turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now I almost gave you this verse today for memory. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Now notice it. Paul says here, and he wrote this book, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And everybody stops there. But don't stop there. Look at verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. You remember the years ago when I first came here and I followed the ex-pastor? You remember the day he stood up and blew up in this service? I'll never forget it as long as I live. I preached that morning on a subject. I started to. I said a disturbance in the temple, and boom, he created the disturbance. And you remember at the close of the service, he made this statement. He said, well, I never had the experience with God that your pastor had. He told the truth. Now hold your seat, will you? You have had a Pauline experience with God or you're not saved. Now you say, how dare you say that? Look at verse 16. Look at it. Paul says, how be it? For this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now, you know what a pattern is? You fellas that work in the automobile factories, you know what a pattern is. Years ago, when I was a garage mechanic at the stamping division in Grand Rapids, I used to drive around into the midst of the tool and die department with my tractor looking for parts and looking for things to do for these tractors. They needed them. And I would notice, and I would stop, and I'd talk to these men, and I'd say, what are you doing? Well, they had a big old grinder here. Here was a great big old die. Well, they said, we're perfecting that die. And this was the midnight shift. And we'd come in at 5:30 in the morning, and if we had that particular truck that was broke down, boy, I'll tell you, every boss we had would be on our neck. He said, you gotta have that truck. We gotta have it fixed. When can you have it fixed? And they stand around and watch us, and we work our full of silly heads off, so to speak, to get that thing fixed. Why? Because that truck lifted those guys up, put them in those big stamping machines. And by 5:30 in the morning, they had to be ready. And I'll tell you why. 1 minute after 7, that old factory was full blast. And they'd have four men on the sides of those big stamping machines. Two of them would stand here on one side, and they'd hold their hands up and have to push four buttons on the one side and four buttons on the other. And when they pushed those four buttons, that great big old stamping machine would come down, and they'd put that sheet metal in there, and it would stamp that sheet metal to the exact replica of the die, including the mistake if there was one. This is what you hear. Pattern.
Paul was a pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ to them which should hereafter believe on Christ for everlasting life. So according as God saved Paul, he saved you. If you say.
All right, now this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what takes place in the revelation of Christ? All right, go back with me to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I've opened this so many times, my Bible just turned right to it without any difficulty. Jonah chapter 1. Now notice, what takes place in Revelation? All right, let's look at those sailors. We find in verse 12, Jonah told them these words. Take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now what did Jonah tell them? Throw me overboard. Did they believe him? No. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Here's the revelation of Christ to the human heart. Now what takes place? All right, first of all, these men learned, and they learned it, and never forgot it, that Jonah was God's provision. Was God's provision. Now I'm going to tell you this tonight. You awakened sinners that are here, if you really believe that Jesus Christ was God's provision for you, you'd be saved right now. Now you let it soak in. You've got to believe this. These men, they saw by revelation that Jonah was God's provision. How do you know, preacher? Look at verse 14. They cried unto the Lord. You see that? Notice, we beseech thee, O Lord. He wasn't Savior yet. We beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. All right. Now what takes place in the revelation of Christ? All right. Listen carefully. First of all, there's the revelation of God's provision. Number one, Jonah was God's provision for them. They knew it. They knew it. When did they learn it? When God showed it to them. When did that take place? Verse 14. And they acted on it in verse 15. Verse 13, they didn't believe it. They tried to work their own way out. It didn't work. There was the revelation of God's provision. And in the revelation of God's provision, two things took place. Number one, there had to be the sacrifice of a man. You see, for you to be saved, you got to believe on the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, because there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jonah was God's provision for these sailors. The man Christ Jesus is your provision and only yours. There's no other one. The second thing is this. There not only had to be the sacrifice of a man. What did Jonah tell them? Throw me overboard. They didn't want to do it because Jonah, they knew Jonah would drown. Didn't make any difference. God said, throw me overboard. You know, I know something? The second thing they learned was this, and it came by revelation, that Jonah was sacrificed as the result of man's action. Now, hold your seat and listen. Some of you know this by your head, but you got to know this by your heart. How come the Lord Jesus Christ died? Because you put him to death. Now, sinner, put it down. You killed the Lord Jesus Christ. So did I. How come he died? Because we put him to death. We nailed him there to that cross with our sin. Those men threw Jonah overboard. And yet, it was God's provision. All right, the second thing takes place is this. There was not only the revelation of God's provision, there was the revelation also of God's purpose. Again, verse 14, look at it. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. All right, they learned the second thing about thee. Jonah was God's provision. Jonah was God's purpose. It was done according to God's sovereignty. Here's why a truly awakened sinner will never quibble over the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's why a truly awakened sinner will never argue over the fact that he put Christ to death. He knows it by revelation. It's written in his heart that it was done according to God's sovereignty. And we find also it was the acting out of God's grace. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Again, verse 14. We beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now, Isaiah 53 tells us it pleased the Lord to bruise Christ. Now that revelation will dawn upon your soul. You'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I was responsible for the death of Christ. The only hope I have is that Christ died for me. I killed him, yet it pleased the Lord to put him to death for my account. When that takes place, your heart is filled with gratitude to the Lord Jesus. You can't help it. Because you see, there's where you meet God. All right, now look again. We find there was the according to God's sovereignty, and then there was the acting out of God's grace. Now look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Now why did they do that? There was no other way. That whole ship would have perished except they had thrown Jonah overboard. Now I'm going to tell you this again. The only way for you to get saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no other way. You can't go any other way. Any other way will lead to hell. These men were shut up unto Jonah. You especially with whom the Lord is dealing right now are shut up unto Christ. You can't go back. There's no place to go. You've got to go forward. The only way you can is to depend on Christ. Now notice, here's the revelation of God's provision. Here's the revelation of God's perfect. But now look at verse 15. And you find the revelation of God's peace. You see, Jonah being thrown overboard by those men brought about the revelation of God's peace to that ship. Now you say, how do you know? Look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. All right, now notice what happened. And this takes place when God saves a sinner. Right here is where they got saved. Right here. Now look here. This is what takes place. We find that the revelation of God's peace was immediate. The sea ceased from her raging. It was immediate. Then, it was personal and affecting. Now, how personal was it? Look at verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now, that doesn't mean they were scared to death of him. It doesn't mean that at all. It was a holy, reverential fear. The same kind of fear that you have tonight if you're saved. They feared the Lord exceedingly. Well, now, why? For the simple reason that immediately, as soon as Jonah was thrown overboard, the sea stopped from its raging. There was a dead calm. And as soon as you trust Christ tonight, there will be the dead calm in your heart. Conviction will be gone. Instead, there will be the revelation of God's peace. It'll be immediate, and it will be so personal and affecting that the same thing will happen to you that happened to those sailors. They feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice, and made vow. And you know what you'll do? You'll do the same thing. You'll offer the sacrifice of praise in your heart. You can't help it. You can't help it. And then you'll make this vow too. Lord, I don't want to do anything that doesn't please you. And by your grace, I'm not going to. Now that's the way you'll be. Now this is the revelation of Christ to your heart. All right, you professing Christians tonight. Is this what happened to you? You better answer your own soul. Is this what happened to you? Or did you just go forward in some church or at some meeting? And somebody read a verse of Scripture unto you and say, you believe that? Say, yeah, I believe it. Well, then you're saved and you believe what they told you. Nobody told these men. No other human being told these men. God told them. And if anybody told you that you were saved, put it down. You're not. Because only God can tell you that. Because no man can confess that Jesus is the Lord but through or by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:3. All right, now let's look at the second chapter. What takes place, or how does the Lord deal in conviction? Now, I can't preach enough on this. And I'll tell you this. If you ever get tired of hearing how the Lord deals with a sinner, you know the reason you get tired of it? Because you're not saved. You're not saved when you believe that. And I know some people have said, you know, well, Preacher Nortier, he's too strong on experience with Christ. You can't be. You can't be, because from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord shows me how he deals and saves sinners. And the theme of the Bible is salvation from Genesis to Revelation. All right, now how does the Lord deal in conviction? Five ways. And five is the number of grace. Number one, he deals suddenly. Suddenly. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Ha! Here he was. One minute he was on the board, aboard ship. The next minute he was in the belly of that whale. He was in a place he couldn't get out. It happened to him quickly. And when God deals with a sinner, suddenly he opens that sinner's soul and that sinner knows that he's a lost sinner before God. Now he may fight about it, or she. Make any difference who it is. They may fume and fuss and fidget, but sooner or later, that individual is going to come to this place. I'm a lost sinner before God. And the more they fight, and the more they say they won't do something, is the more God makes them do the very thing they say they won't do. Oh, Danny Hale, and Danny, when you hear this, you can chuckle over it. But Danny Hale, brother Hale's son, he made this statement a few years ago. He said, "Now," he said, "my dad," he said, "all he does is talk about Christ." He said, "If that ever happens to me, I'm not going to tell anybody." He can't keep his mouth shut now. He's telling everybody. And his wife's the same way. You see, when God deals with a sinner, he deals with him suddenly. The second thing he does, he deals with that individual sovereignly. Sovereignly, yes. Verse 17 and chapter 2, verse 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now here's a sovereign act of God. There isn't anybody else that's ever lived that ever spent 3 days in the fish's belly like Jonah. God dealt with Jonah in the fish's belly. He dealt with Jonah suddenly. But he dealt with Jonah on a sovereign basis. Jonah knew that God was dealing with him. And so do you, if you've ever been under conviction or are now. You know that God's dealing with you. And we'll tell you something else. You can't stay with it. Some of you folks, when the Lord begins to deal with you, you probably felt like I did. Maybe you do. I hope you do. This is the way I felt when the Lord was dealing with me. I didn't want to go to that church, but I couldn't stay away. And I sat there in the second row in the front, just like old Dot sitting there at night. Preacher get up there and he'd point his bony finger at me like I do at some of you. And he said over and over again, "Repent! Repent! Repent!" And God would drive that truth home. He said, "Repent! Repent! Repent!" I didn't know if the Lord was dealing with anybody else or not. I knew he was dealing with me. You ever been there? Most of our so-called Christians today don't know what we're talking about. It's never been. When God deals with a sinner, it'll be sudden. It'll be sovereign. Then, it'll be for a purpose. A purpose. Jonah chapter 2. Look with me, if you will. We find it'll be in verse 1 through 9. But verse 9, the last sentence of verse 9, this is what it says. Salvation is of the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You professing Christians here tonight. Is that your testimony? Is it? You really say so? You say salvation is of the Lord? Are you like so many others? Well, so-and-so over here led me to Christ. And I'll never stop praising the Lord for so-and-so, because without so-and-so, I'd be going to hell. Wait a minute. Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. Now again, folks get misunderstood. And they say, well, according to that, Preacher Northier doesn't want anybody to talk to anybody else. No, that's not so at all. That's a lie. Preacher Northier wants everybody to talk to everybody else. And the one crying weakness of this church is that you professing Christians keep your mouth shut instead of telling people how God saved you. If you just go on and talk to people about how God saved you, you know what happened? The Lord shake them from center to circumference and they start coming to church. But most of you keep your mouth shut. You start talking about how God dealt with you in salvation. And it shakes them up. Because that's what Jonah did when he preached. And that's what we have to do when we preach. And we find when the Lord deals with a sinner, we find it's suddenly, it's sovereignly, it's purposefully. What was the purpose of God in dealing with Jonah? Twofold right here. Jonah is a picture of a sinner, so the purpose of God was to restore Jonah into fellowship with the Lord God of heaven in salvation. But Jonah also was a wayward prophet of God. So God dealt with Jonah on a sovereign basis to restore Jonah to his rightful position that God had for him to fulfill. When our Lord does. And he does the same thing today. All right, now notice. He also dealt with Jonah suddenly, sovereignly, purposefully, but also awesome. Awesome. What in the world did Jonah learn? He learned that God was the boss. What did he learn? He was telling God, you go fly a kite, I'm going to Tarshish. You told me to go to Nineveh, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to live my own life. I'm the captain of my own soul. He wasn't. God dealt with Jonah in an awesome manner. You sit down sometime in your leisure, and you read that second chapter of Jonah, and you'll read how God dealt with Jonah in such an awesome manner. Now, I don't know what the Lord's going to have to do to save some of you if he has to deal with you like he did with Jonah. He'll put you over here in Lake Huron and put a fish in there. He's able to. Maybe he's going to have to put you on a hospital bed. Maybe he'll have to put you in jail. He might have to take away, as it were, your sanity. He did that with Nebuchadnezzar. But when God deals with a sinner, he deals with a sinner in an awesome manner. And nobody can help that sinner at that time. Nobody could help Jonah. Nobody can help you awaken sinners but the Lord. Yet we believers have a responsibility unto you, which is to be kind to you, to love you, and to pray for you, and to be patient with you, and to encourage you along the road. So many of them don't do that. If God hasn't given you a burden for these 60-some people, it was connected with his work, that have honestly said that the Lord is dealing with them, God have mercy on your soul. I'm hoping in my cry has been, Lord, give this people of Elmont a burden such as they've never had before, so that when you're at your washing machine, some of you dry-eyed, hard-hearted, so-called believers will begin to bawl your eyes out for the salvation of your loved ones. But you see, Elmont is just too sophisticated, you know. We very seldom say amen. And we just don't ever shed any tears, you know. That's too much of that southern emotion. Well, would to God we had a little more of it. And yet emotion isn't going to save you. If you ask the Lord tonight, you believe it. You go home tonight. You ask the Lord tonight, Lord, did I do right today towards those people that are in this church Sunday after Sunday? Some of them are coming from Kingston. Here's a family over here tonight, drove up from Utica. There's another family over here near Mount Clemens. They're coming from all over. And yet we've got people in this church that are griping because we're not reaching more of our local constituency. God is working a wonder in this community, and he's giving up this community. He hasn't given up this church, and I thank the Lord he has. You ought to see. But you see, when God deals, he deals awesomely. But then last of all, he deals graciously. All you dear folks tonight with whom the Lord's dealing, I know you don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you this again. The reason God's dealing with you is because he has set his love on you. Now he has. And I'll tell you this, he's dealing with you in grace. Grace. And you may say, well, Pastor, I got a heavy millstone around my neck. It's as though I'm choking to death. I can't get rid of it. And when I pray, I can't pray. It doesn't seem like my prayers are reaching the ceiling. I can't even cry anymore. I just don't know what to do. And you tell me God deals with me graciously? Amen. Because he doesn't do that. The only people he does that to are the ones that he saved. Don't you ever forget. All right, now let's look at the feelings of a sinner under conviction. Jonah chapter 2, quickly. Look at verse 2, and look also at verses 5 and 6. Jonah prayed. You see, a sinner under conviction is going to pray. Nobody taught Jonah here to pray. He just started praying. Why? Because he was being afflicted. All right, now notice quickly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Then verses 5 and 6. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Now what do you have here? Now look at it carefully. Here is what Jonah felt. Jonah said, I cried out of the belly of hell, Hades, Sheol. Now next week I'm going to tell you why he said that. But now notice what Jonah was facing. First of all, he was facing hell forever. Verses 5 and 6. Notice, the earth with her bars was about me forever. When God opens a sinner's heart and deals with that sinner in conviction, that sinner knows, and he knows that he knows it, he's facing hell. And he's facing hell forever. And he knows. And I'll tell you what it does. It bothers him to know her to no end. Jonah here became a praying sinner. Because he felt these words, he faced hell forever. Then, secondly, Jonah was fainting because of his conflict. Again, look at verses 3 down through verse 7. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, the flood compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then verse 7. When my soul fainted within me. Maria, you ever been there? I'll never forget years ago. She used to come up, Pastor, pray. She was in slew of despondency. No, Brother Mundell, she came to him one night and said, pray for me, Brother Mundell, I'm not saved. Said, well, why aren't you? The Lord Jesus. Shake her up. All right. When a sinner is under conviction, that sinner faces hell. That sinner gets very tired and faint because of the conflict in that soul. Don't you think there's not? There is. Some of you are going through that right now. Then, in verse 3, the sinner also feels the weight of the anger of God upon him or her personally. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and waves passed over me. Exactly the way the Lord Jesus Christ cried on the cross. The sinner feels the weight of God's anger. It's like a millstone tied around that sinner's neck, dragging that individual down, down, down to hell. They can't fight again. And they get so tired, they're fainting. But then, in verse 3 down through verse 8, the fourth thing the individual learns is this. And what is it? Notice it carefully. That individual fully knows that the prerogative of his salvation or damnation is in the hands of God. Look at verse 8.
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, right here is where some of you have been tricked. Now, let me give it to you. You've been tricked. Some of you here have learned under this preaching that salvation is of the Lord, and it is. And so, therefore, a lot of you are just sitting back and you're saying, well, I'm waiting for God's sake. I don't find Jonah waiting here. And I'll tell you something else. I've never found any other awakened sinner that's truly awakened that is just sitting down waiting for God's sake. I'll tell you why. Because while Jonah was crying in the belly of that fish, it's a picture of God putting the cry in the sinner's heart. You see, the sinner feels the weight of God's anger. The sinner knows, and he knows that he knows it, that he faces hell forever. And the sinner is tired. He faints. He's fainting because of the conflict. Because, like I got a letter this past week from an awakened sinner, and the dear soul said, oh, will the Lord ever save me? I'm so tired. The way some of you feel. You come here Sunday after Sunday and you say, Lord, what's wrong? I'm not saved yet. And then some of you say, well, Lord, how come you haven't saved me? You saved so-and-so. Well, why should